أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى شيخ الإسلام وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the love of our dear Prophet and his dear progeny, please recite a second salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى شيخ الإسلام. For the hastening and the return of our beloved 12th Imam, please recite a third and final loud salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى شيخ الإسلام. Continuing the discussion that we've been discussing these past two or three nights, inshallah, tonight we want to talk about the answer to this question. When something terrible is happening in my life, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to communicate something to me or not? When I'm going through a hard time, is this a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is He trying to tell me something or not? As individuals who believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many times, even in family gatherings when you sit, when someone in the family is going through a hard time and they discuss this in a family gathering, the people in that gathering will have opinions about this hard time that this person is going through. They draw a meaning, they draw a conclusion. Sometimes they'll say, yes, Fulan is going through this problem because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish him. They draw a meaning from it. Sometimes it's the exact opposite. Sometimes you go to the same people, they will draw the exact opposite meaning. They will say, no, this is not a punishment for this person. This is a promotion for this person. He's such a good person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate his status even more. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing a difficulty in his life. So inshallah tonight we want to talk about this. There are four questions that we want to answer tonight inshallah. Number one, when we are going through difficulties, when we are going through difficult times, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to communicate something to us or not? Number one. Number two, if He is trying to communicate something to you and me, what is His message? Is He saying that I'm punishing you, or is He saying that you're such a good person, I'm promoting you, I'm elevating your status? Which one of these two is it? Number three, when something happens that's terrible in the life of others, not my own life, in the life of other people, which approach am I supposed to take? Am I supposed to take the approach that this is a punishment for that person, or am I supposed to take the approach that this is a promotion for this person? And number four, what examples do we have from the life of the Ahlul Bayt? Certain difficult times that they went through, for them we consider them promotions, but when it comes to our own brothers and sisters, those same difficult situations, we point to them, we say God is punishing them. When it comes to the Ahlul Bayt, we consider it as a promotion, say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevating their status. But when it happens to my brother, my sister, I point to him, I say, no, God is punishing you. What examples do we have from the life of the Ahlul Bayt going through situations like this? Please recite a loud salawat. Allow us to start with the answer to the first question. If I'm going through a hard time, is God trying to tell me something? Is there a message that's trying to be passed on to me? Well, that depends. It depends on a very simple thing. Were you in control when this bad thing was happening to you? Or did the situation present itself on its own? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, there's a situation I have control over it. I'm the one who's making the decision. There's nothing happening from outside. Everything is in my hands. I have the reins of this decision in my hand. I make the wrong decision. Something terrible happens to me. God has nothing to do with when we make terrible decisions, when we know we're not supposed to do something and we go against it. We can't put this on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's this phrase a lot of times we throw around, brothers and sisters, in our conversations, and usually it's correct. But sometimes it does not make sense. Sometimes when we're going through a hard time, a brother or a sister, this brother and sister are going through this hard time because they made that decision. They had a shortcoming. They knew they weren't supposed to do it this way. Okay, when you sit down with this brother and sister, you're talking to them, say, brother, sister, you're going through a hard time. Yes, I'm going through a hard time. It's very difficult. Inshallah khair. I'm sure he has a reason for everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a reason for everything that he makes happen. But sometimes it's you and me that are making things happen. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sits back. He looks at his servant, says, look at this servant of mine. I'm not intervening in his life. He's ruining his life on his own. This has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example. A brother wants to get married with a sister. This brother knows, he can see that this sister, and we can flip the example at any time, right? The sister and the brother, we can switch places at any time. The brother sees that this sister is not a practicing individual. In her interactions, when she's around the opposite gender, she's comfortable. Or the brother is comfortable around the opposite gender. In terms of the level of religiosity that they have, in terms of the levels of practicing religion, they're not at the same level. Now this brother wants to go ahead with this marriage. No, inshallah, he will take care of everything. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to open our eyes when we're going about something like marriage. So he goes down this road. Obviously, this person is going to run into major problems later on. We know from an Islamic perspective that the religiosity of a husband and a wife need to be somewhere close to one another at least. If one wants to practice to the T and the other one does not care about this stuff, this is going to become a major issue. Okay, they continue down this road. They start having issues. God forbid it leads to divorce. You ask the brother, you're like, brother, what happened? You're going through a hard time. Yes, I'm going through a hard time. Inshallah khair, I'm sure he has a reason for everything. There is a reason for everything. Sometimes it's your ignorance. Sometimes it's because you're not making the right decision. So that's the first thing that we need to pay attention to. Sometimes the things that are happening in our lives has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the result of us making the wrong decisions sometimes. If that's the case, you cannot even ask, what type of message is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to send me? No message at all. He's just sitting back and watching you making these wrong decisions. Recite a salawat, please. Having said that, let's move on to the second situation. Sometimes we don't have control over the situation. Sometimes you're getting married, you go through everything in the right way, you know, you do your research, this person looks like a person who would be a good match for you, and still, things don't turn out to be going okay. This is where you can say, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to tell me? What is His message for me in this particular situation? All right. Now, before I answer the question, why is it even important to understand what God is trying to tell us? Why do we even care about this? Why am I even taking your time with this? Because brothers and sisters, when we are going through difficult times in our lives, if we know if this is a punishment or a promotion, it makes a world of difference in how much patience we have to go through this difficult situation. When you look at Abu Abdullah in the plain of Karbala, the last moments of his life, there are two moments that I want to highlight. There's a moment before they come to behead Abu Abdullah where he has fought so much he doesn't have any more energy left. He's sitting there on the ground. He is tilted. He is relying on his sword to not fall on the ground. In those moments, he's going through that pain. He says, Ilahi ridhan bi ridhaak. Abu Abdullah knows this is a promotion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This helps Imam al-Hussein to be able to go through this difficulty. A couple of moments later, when the Imam is almost done, they are going to come to behead the Imam. The narrations say that Hilal ibn Nafi', one of the people who was witnessing this, he says while he was rolling over in his own blood, he said, Tasliman la'amrik. Abu Abdullah can go through this because he understands this is a promotion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he understands this, he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this for him. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, dealing with a difficult situation is one thing. Knowing that you are being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a totally different thing. Even in the punishments that we have sometimes with parents and children, there's two aspects to the punishment. The first is the evident aspect of it. You can't use your phone for 2 days. You have to go to your room for half an hour, whatever the case may be. That's part of the punishment. But you know the part of the punishment that is even more difficult for the child, usually? The part that's even more difficult is just the idea and the thought that he knows or she knows, deep down, my mom and dad are not satisfied with me. They are disappointed in me. That's a little bit bigger of a punishment compared to the limitation that he's actually dealing with. And then what happens, brothers and sisters? A couple, this is an example that we will go through. A couple get married, they have a child. This child turns out, for example, to be born with a disability. If this couple feel like God is punishing them, then a difficult situation turns into an intolerable situation. So we need to know, when I'm going through this, is God punishing me or no? He's promoting me. This is why we have to find out the answer to this question. Recite the salawat. So when we go to the Quran and Hadith, we find that the answer to the question is very simple, brothers and sisters. If we are the type of people that do haram and we do not repent from it, the difficulty that I am going through is definitely a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do haram and I don't repent. You see, Islam does not shy away from this idea that when you do haram and you are arrogant enough to the point that you won't even say the two words, I'm sorry. You're that arrogant, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely descend upon you and me. It's definitely going to come. In fact, when you look in our ahadith, they give you this feeling that when you do haram and you don't repent from it, you have to understand every corner the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might come. We have verses, for example, in the Quran. It says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The armies of the heaven and the earth are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you start going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you do haram and you do not repent, what happens? The earth that you're walking on is your enemy. It's trying to get you. The earth that you're walking on wants you to trip and fall. The air that you're breathing wants you to cease from breathing. Everything around you is going against you at this point. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be right around the corner. We need to understand this. If, brothers and sisters, if we lived in a community, in a family, where it was understood, I'm not talking about a community or family where no one does haram, and that's not even something we can even imagine. No. A community or a family where the family members knew, just understood this, that when I do haram, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might come any second. That family would be heaven. That community would be heaven. Imagine if we lived in a family where the child, if the child disrespects the mother, his day does not go on normally. Like his mind is constantly thinking. He can't get on with his day-to-day affairs. He knows the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might come any second. I have to go and apologize now. If we lived in an environment like that, that would be heaven. That would be heaven. This is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you can tell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even surprised sometimes. He says, look at my servants. They do haram. They don't repent. And then they're just relaxed. They're walking around. Don't they think that when they do haram and they don't repent, my punishment might come to them when they're taking their daily nap? Don't they think my punishment will come to them right in the middle of the day, while they're asleep, while they're awake? The punishment is going to come. We need to understand this. Allow me to go through one small story, brothers and sisters, because this is a key point. Not doing haram is one thing. But when we do haram, turning back quickly, if we could just stick to this, this is the key to heaven, brothers and sisters. Staying away from hellfire, in the words of our ulama, is not too difficult. Why? Because whenever you do something haram, you just have to sincerely, quickly repent. Recite a salawat, please. In fact, this story illustrates how the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just around the corner. This is during the time of Ghadir. After the khutbah of Ghadir finished, we know that the Muslimin remained in Ghadir for 3 days. The bay'ah took 3 days. 3 days people would come, shake the hands of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The women would put their hand in the bucket of water to pledge their allegiance to Ali ibn Abi Talib. One of the companions of the Prophet by the name of Harith ibn Nu'man, he came to the Prophet and he said, Muhammad, up until now we listened to you. First you started out your message, you said there's only one God, I'm his prophet. We said, okay, salamna, we accepted what you had to say. And then you didn't stop there, you took it further. You said, no, by the way, other than that, there's this Quran, you have to accept everything that's in this Quran. We said, salamna, we accepted that. And then you took it a step further, you said you have to do hajj, you have to do saum, you have to fast, you have to pray, you have to give zakat, you have to do all of these things. All of these, Muhammad, we accepted, salamna. And then you took it too far. It came a point where even after you're going to die, you're going to appoint your cousin as the Khalifa? That's how kings rule. If you were a prophet, you wouldn't do it in that way. He said, tell me, Muhammad, is this something that you're making up? Or is this something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which one of these is it? The Prophet said, no, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look into history, not only was the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the timing was also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha rasul balligh. O Prophet of ours, now is the time for you to deliver this message. The Prophet was hesitant. He was looking for the best time. Even the timing was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet turns to Harith. He says, Harith, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Harith knows the truth, but he starts mocking the prophets. He says, sometimes we do this, brothers and sisters. He says, Ya Allah, as he's walking towards his camel, he's leaving the tent of the prophet. He's walking away. He says, Ya Allah, if what this guy is saying is true, send some stones from the sky to hit me and kill me. And as the prophet is looking, before Harith can get to a camel, a stone comes from the sky and hits Harith in the head. And he dies right there. And then the verses at the beginning of Suratul Ma'arij are revealed. And take a look at this wording, brothers and sisters. It's only 4 or 5 words. Sa'ala sa'ilun bi'adhabin waqi'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there was one of my servants. He asked for a punishment. Before he was done asking, the punishment was revealed upon him, descended upon him. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come soon for us, brothers and sisters. We can't just do haram and then just walk around and act like life is going on normally. No, when we do haram, the repentance has to come quickly. Recite a salawat, please. Again, when we go to the Quran, you find, brothers and sisters, when we do haram and we're relaxed, sometimes you will look at something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put something in your life. You think this is a blessing. You don't know it's because of the haram that you've done and you have not repented from. In the story of the previous prophets, one of the prophets told his people that yes, there is going to be a tufan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send some clouds. It's going to rain. This is going to kill you. They did not repent. They saw the clouds coming. Just think of this. They saw their punishment coming. What did they say? They said, "Hada 'aridun mumtiruna." Oh, look, life is going on normally. We have some clouds. God is sending us some extra rain. It's some extra blessings. But that wasn't blessing. That was not rain. That was the flood that was going to bring an end to their life. So in Islam, this concept, brothers and sisters, Islam does not shy away from this at all. If we do haram and we do not repent, the punishment is definitely going to come. So if that's the category that I fall into and I'm going through a hard time, I can be sure this is a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good news is, however, most people don't fall under that category. As far as I know, most people are not like that. Most people, when they do haram, the repentance comes quickly. If that's the case, then whatever you're going through right now is a promotion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeing potential in you. He wants to pull you up higher. The only way He can do that is He throws difficulty in your life so that you can work on yourself and become more patient. Recite salawat, please. Now that we understand this, we have the answer to our question. Let's move on to the third question. The third question was this. When something happens, something that's terrible, it happens in the life of someone else. What kind of an approach am I supposed to take? Brothers and sisters, this is one of those situations that we judge people very often on. Very often. And sometimes it can lead to making other people's lives terrible. It can break hearts. There is nothing worse in Islam than breaking the heart of another believer. That's a very scary thing. How do we break hearts sometimes? Sometimes when we see someone else going through a difficult time, we point to that person. Usually two things come to our mind. Number one, he must have not been able to deal with that situation properly. Now look at what he's dealing with. Number one. I'll give you examples of these that relate to our day-to-day lives, unfortunately. Number two, he must have done haram some other day. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting him. Must have done something wrong. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him. But when we go to hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it's not the case. I have some special servants. When you look into their lives, any blessing I send down from the sky, I make it move away from them, meaning that they don't benefit from that blessing. And any bala that I send down from the sky, I make sure it covers them. Some of those guys, some of them, are amongst my special servants. Sometimes you see in your family members, there's this one guy, two guys, whatever they do, they can't win. Whatever they do, they're not successful. So what do? You start judging them. There must be something wrong with this guy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ عِبَادًا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ خَالِصِ عِبَادِهِ Amongst His special servants, مَا يُنزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ تُحْفَةً إِلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا صَرَفَهَا عَنْهُمْ Any blessing I send down for these guys, I make sure that it doesn't cover these guys. They don't benefit from it. وَمَا يُنزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بَلِيَّةً إِلَّا صَرَفَهَا إِلَيْهِمْ That guy that you think is not successful at all, you can't sit there and judge him and say, yeah, this is a punishment for him. No, it might be a punishment. It may not be a punishment. So the approach that you have to take, this is a promotion for him. Three examples. And these are examples that we deal with on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. There's a very successful person. Mashallah, he has his own company, for example. A very successful business person. He's doing well. Everything is going well in his life. The whole community knows this person. This person helps others. Everyone knows this person. And then something terrible happens in his life. He gets a divorce, whatever the case may be. Oh, he must have gotten arrogance. Now God is getting him. The first time I met him, I knew he was arrogant. This is the type of stuff that we say, brothers and sisters. No, we don't have the right to judge someone like that. No. Maybe he was arrogant, maybe he wasn't. I can't make that call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to make that call. Moving on to another example. A couple get married, the child is born with a disability. What do we say, brothers and sisters? Sometimes it's not even what we say. Sometimes it's the vibe that we give off in family gatherings. This couple comes with this child. They're going through such a difficult time. Everyone is thinking, they must have done something wrong. Bad things don't happen to good people. No. In fact, bad things happen to good people. I saw this book. There's the name of a book out there. It's called, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. This is possible. This family is already going through such a difficult time raising this child. And then you sit there and you give off the vibe that yes, you're being punished. No. What should our approach be? When you see a couple like that, this is your approach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all of us, He chose you guys for this special test of His. Dealing with something like that is not small. It's very difficult, brothers and sisters. Your approach has to be, this couple was so special, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them. Third example. And this is where we find examples from the lives of the Ahlul Bayt even. When a couple get married, they are practicing individuals. They have children, but the children turn out to be non-practicing people. We judge that parent, those parents so badly, brothers and sisters, in our communities. This has happened. Distant relatives, the mother and the father themselves, they're going through hell because they know their child is not on the right path. And then the vibe we give off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing you. You must have done something wrong. You must have broken someone's heart. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you in your own life. It's funny though, when you look at the Ahlul Bayt, the best families that ever lived on earth, you find they had bad children too. And what their children did are nothing compared to what these children are doing. What did their children do? Some of the children of the imams claim to be an imam. The children that we see, do they do something like that? No, not even close to that. The uncle, let me go through the story with you. The uncle of Imam al-Jawad, recite a salawat, please. The uncle of Imam al-Jawad, brothers and sisters, he did this haram. This is not a small haram. In those critical moments after the passing of the eighth imam, the Shia were confused. It wasn't like how we know today. I ask you, how many imams are there? What are their names? These 12 individuals and, you know, this person, then this. No, the Shia were confused at that time. They wanted to find out. This Jawad that they say, this Muhammad ibn Ali that they say, is, can he really be an imam? It wasn't a joke. This guy, he was 7 or 8 years old. The Shia get together. They are mourning the death of the eighth imam. They have their gathering. In the middle of the gathering, someone gets up. One of the close companions. He gets up. He says, it's enough for crying. We need to figure out who we're going to follow afterwards. Like, who's going to be the next imam? They say, okay, only way to figure this out, to test this young child of Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, we have to go to Medina and test him. They say, okay, during the time of Hajj, we'll go. The time of Hajj comes. They go. They go to the house of Imam al-Jawad. They sit there. They say, we have come to ask questions. Does Imam al-Jawad come out? No. Who comes out? The uncle of Imam al-Jawad comes out. He comes, he sits in the seat of Imam al-Jawad. He says, I'm the grandson of the Prophet. If you guys have any questions, go ahead. These guys fire away fiqhi questions. What are we supposed to do in this situation? What are we supposed to do in that situation? They're getting wacky answers. They know that this person is not the imam. But you know what they're thinking to themselves? They say, if Jawad was really able to answer our questions, he would have come himself. He's a child. That's why his uncle has come instead of him. They get up to leave. The future of the Shia school of thought is being threatened. They get up to leave. Before they leave, one of the khadama comes, says, Hadha ibn Rasulullah. This is the grandson of the Prophet that you guys are looking for. Imam al-Jawad comes, the questions come, he answers them. Then they say, but your uncle was saying some other stuff. He says, uncle, ya ammi, how dare you do something like this? These guys are relying on my answers. Going back to the point that I was making, when you see a child like that, by the way, this is a child of an imam. This is a brother of an imam. This is an uncle of an imam. Do we sit there and say, yes, Musa ibn Kadhim must have done something wrong. Now God is punishing him with his own children. Do we say Musa ibn Kadhim must have not taken his parenting classes. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing him how it's done. Is that the type of approach that we take? No, we have double standards. When it comes to them, say, no, this is a promotion for the Ahlul Bayt. This is the same approach, brothers and sisters, we have to take when we see something terrible happening to another individual in another individual's life. You don't know what type of person that person is. I've seen him, he does haram. He can also do tawbah. This is why we have hadith. Some of the ahadith say, the person comes to the imam, and I'll end with this. The person comes to the imam and says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I know you guys keep saying that I will never be able to judge myself compared to the person who's sitting beside me. I can never say I'm better than the person who's sitting beside me. The imam says, yes, that's what we believe in. He says, but listen, sometimes I see this guy doing haram. And the imam says, but does he have time after that? And he says, yes. 2 days later, I see him. He says, well, you don't know what he did in those 2 days. Maybe he did tawbah in those 2 days. This, brothers and sisters, the vibe that we give off when we see our brothers and sisters, especially when they're going through difficult times, this is one of those keys to working on our communities and our families. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the chance, the ability, the tawfiq to inshallah have the right approach, whether we're going through a difficult time or one of our brothers or sisters. With that, inshallah, we'll bring today's talk to an end. Let us send our salams to the plain of Karbala. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.